How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here. It is Tuesday, June 17th, 2008, here at figure4online.com. I wanted to do an update here at the beginning of the show to alert all of the freeloaders listening right now on iTunes and on the front page of this website. Alert them to the changes that are taking place as we speak and in the future, and what that will mean for everybody. And that means both freeloaders and people who decide to sign up for the website. Of course, we do a plug every week for what you can get at figure4online.com. But now, things have changed in a, I think, a spectacular way. The figure4online.com website and wrestlingobserver.com have merged together into one gigantic super site. Myself and Dave Meltzer are now going to be working nearly around the clock, actually. We will sleep, but the rest of the time there will be very frequent updates on the website. We've got a lot of cool things going on. We're adding some radio shows. We are bringing the Observer newsletter online. Most of you are probably well aware of the changes by now. But all of the new Wrestling Observer newsletters will be online, much like Figure Four Weekly. So those of you that used to subscribe to the Observer or still do, and sometimes get your issues as late as Monday or Tuesday, you will now be getting your issues on Wednesday online as a subscriber. And we will also be putting up back issues of the Observer as well. If you want to read about what happened in pro wrestling dating back to 1991, this is the website for you. All of the Observers will be online. We're going to build up the back issue library on the website. This, of course, in addition to all of the new Figure Four weeklies, which in fact come out Tuesday morning, they're usually online. And over 350 back issues of Figure Four Weekly, and they will be growing as well. I do plan to add more of those. Now, let me run down the radio show schedule, because we are adding shows, and that is going to result in the entire lineup being switched around, and that will have repercussions for freeloaders. So let me just run down the schedule here. By the way, this is just the shows that I am involved with. The other radio shows on this website, the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, which covers Japan and hockey and all sorts of different subjects. The five-star radio show with Mike Coughlin covering MMA, the Carl Stern History of Wrestling show, which covers the history of wrestling, and the Dr. Keith Lipinski show, in which he interviews big names from the world of independent pro wrestling. All of those will continue, usually about one show per week. Those will all continue pretty much at random times throughout the week, but we will keep you updated, of course, on the front page as well. If you scroll down to the radio show section, you can see what's new and what has been posted. But as far as the shows that I'm involved with, we're having to change the schedule around because I'm now doing approximately 8 shows a week on this website. The new plan is on Monday night, we will do a Brian and Dave post-Raw show, where we will run down the show and then talk about all the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts for the last couple of days. The Tuesday Brian and Vinny show will now be taking place, as noted on Tuesday. We're moving it from Monday to Tuesday night, in which the two of us will recap Raw, as we always do, and probably SmackDown. And if there was a pay-per-view over the weekend that we didn't get a chance to discuss, myself and Vince, we will discuss it there as well. So some of the stuff like SmackDown may be a little bit outdated, but I think that most people are well aware of what happened on SmackDown anyway, so it's our job to just comment on what we saw. So that's being moved to Tuesday night. Tuesday day, we will still be doing the Brian Mailbag show, which is a very popular feature on this website. Wednesday day, we will be doing Figure Four Daily, now with two guests on Wednesdays. We'll probably have 2 half-hour guests on that show. Wednesday night, another Brian and Dave show. Thursday day, we'll do a Figure Four Daily with 2 rotating guests, either Buddy Wayne or Lance Storm on alternating weeks. So those of you that love Lance Storm, you will now be getting him 26 times per year on Figure Four Daily. Thursday night, we'll do the weekend Brian and Vinny show. And then the weekends, depending on how many pay-per-views, you will either have 1 or 2 bonus shows. There will always be a Brian and Dave show. That is pretty much, we've gotten that set in stone. And if there happen to be 2 pay-per-views, like if there's a UFC on Saturday night and a TNA show on Sunday night, then it will likely be Brian and Dave for one of the shows and Brian and Vinny for the other show. So really, the Brian and Vinny show is largely just being moved. There will, on most weeks, be 1 less show, but on some weeks there will be 1 extra show, whichever way you want to look at it. We usually only promise 2 shows per week, but you will now get 2 Brian and Vinny shows for sure, and some weeks you will be getting 3. So I will be producing these 8 shows. And that is in addition to everything else on the website, the Observer newsletters, the Figure Four newsletters. And what we're going to do for freeloaders is we will now be alternating weeks. So tonight, freeloaders are going to be getting the Brian and Dave post-Raw show. And next week, freeloaders will be getting the Brian and Vinny show on Tuesday night. So that's how it's going to work from this point forward. You'll get a taste of both shows. And, of course, if you like what you hear, I am doing, as noted, 8 shows per week. So if you're a freeloader and you get one and you love what you're listening to, well, 7 more if you sign up. And the new cost is $9.99. We've raised the price $2. But for that extra $2, you are getting a number of new shows. You're getting the new Observers. Dave usually does either one or two Observers a week, believe it or not. So you'll be getting 2 Observers online. You'll be getting an Observer back issue, usually 2 Observer back issues per week. The new Figure Four Weekly, the board, the drops, the radio shows, they're all available on the board. All the songs that you hear on the Brian and Vinny show. So it's a fantastic bargain at $9.99. The $7.99 a lot of people noted was a ridiculously low price, and I think that $9.99 for minimum 8 new shows a week, minimum 2 newsletters a week, sometimes 3, and if you count back issues, we're putting up maybe 5 or 6 newsletters every single week. And, of course, every show that we've ever done is up in the archives right now, dating back to October of 2005. So I encourage everybody to head over to figure4online.com or wrestlingobserver.com or whichever URL you choose to get to the website and check out everything we've got. You can go up to membership benefits, click on that. It's in the main menu, and it will give you a list of everything that we are doing here on the website, all the stuff you get for the low, low price of $9.99. We've had a tremendous week thus far as people jumping on board. So I encourage you to sign up because you'll be missing out on a ton of stuff if you don't. We're going to have members-only news updates, which we've had a couple of today. And we will have breaking news whenever there is a big story in pro wrestling or mixed martial arts that breaks. So you're not just getting the 3 Brian and Dave shows. If something big happens, you'll get a bonus one. And in fact, we will be doing a bonus one Tuesday afternoon after Dana White's big UFC announcement. So you'll be getting that today if you sign up right now. So anyway, that's it for the plug. I suggest everybody head over there, WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com. Check it out. Join the fun, and without further ado, let's get to the Dave and Brian Wrestling Observer Radio Show. And we are back here on Wrestling Observer Radio. Brian Alvarez here and Dave Meltzer. Tuesday, June 17th, 2008, WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We are going to be talking about Raw and a little bit of other news tonight. There are some big things going down, including a huge UFC announcement of some sort later on today. And I guess we should alert everybody that shortly after the announcement, Dave and I will be back on with a bonus audio show here, breaking down whatever the announcement is. So it could either be a very in-depth news update, or we could be done in about 5 minutes. So I guess
yeah.
it's a toss-up.
Yeah, I think I'm talking to Dana. So I think it's 1:20. Is that when I'm doing it? I got to look at my schedule. I don't even know.
So are you're talking to him before or after the announcement?
I don't know. I just know I'm talking to him at 1:20.
Oh, okay. So we really don't know when the announcement is tomorrow.
I don't know. Maybe it's before. I don't. I that would be kind of silly, though.
Well, after you're done talking to him, we're gonna have an update. So
yeah.
If everybody wants to know what's going on, we will be the this will be the place to go because Dave's going to have it firsthand from Dana. So
yeah.
That's coming up tomorrow. Now, the Raw show tonight, I mean, all else fails, this was a much better show than last week.
Yeah, it was better. I have no idea why they did the giveaway, though. I mean, they had to, but I have no idea why they're doing it next week because it didn't, you know, it just kind of got in the way of things. I mean, it wasn't, I guess it wasn't as bad as last week. It wasn't good, though.
It was certainly, it was, last week was kind of there was the perverse entertainment of seeing Vince just fail so epically on live television, not being able to dial and such. We got one of those tonight.
Yeah.
This week it was more funny by design because they had a bunch of goofball winners that they asked wacky questions to.
I didn't think it was funny. I just thought it was stupid. I thought Vince came off as very, what's the word?
He was making fun of his audience.
Well, Vince, like, really conceited and kind of stuck up and looking down on people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, and that's his fan base. I'll tell you one thing. This one last week's show, well, not so much last week's show, but on the shows later this in this week, when they were doing the cut-ins and they were talking about one of the winners. I think it was the guy who stocked shelves at Walmart.
Yeah.
And he won like $200,000, and they said he made more than he would make in
10 years
at his regular job.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, you know, the whole thing that he's been fighting all these years is the idea that his audience has no money, and here he is, like, pushing this idea that these guys were, you know, that his audience have no money.
Yes, it's...
You know, I mean, he's been fighting the sponsors going, that's not true, that's not true. And now he's, you know...
Well, now he can say they've got money now. He's just giving it away.
Yeah, for one guy, yeah.
Sure, right. Yeah. They've got one, well, a couple of... Actually, what would it be now? 16 wealthy viewers. So, I don't know if that's going to do him any good, but... I did think one positive of this week that we didn't have last week was, at least this week, if you take the assumption, which last week was proven wrong, that a bunch of people are going to tune in to win this money or might come back, at least they tried to put on, like, a good show for those people, as opposed to last week, which was just, I mean, not even counting the money giveaway, but, I mean, that was a pretty bad show last week. At least we got a good street fight, and the main event was good until a very strange finish. We can talk about all that in a moment, but at least they tried to give a good show for people coming back.
Yeah, but I felt, not throughout the whole show, but certainly in the first, oh, God, half hour, 45 minutes, I just felt so much desperation.
Yeah.
I felt the John Cena promo was you know, a writer... And, you know, a writing team desperate, you know, that to somehow cling to stuff from the past because we've got no future and no present. And I felt that the bikini contest, you know, just out of nowhere, just felt really desperate.
Yeah.
And, you know, bringing back Ric Flair was unbelievably desperate. So, I mean, that was kind of like my emotional reaction watching the show is, God, they're desperate. And you know, I mean, to bring Ric Flair back for that, you know what I mean? It's like why waste his return on that?
Yeah. Oh,
you know, it's like you can only bring him back, you know, one time. Now if they bring him back in a couple weeks, it's like, well, we just saw him.
Let's actually talk about some of these segments here on the show. We'll talk about Flair since you just mentioned that right there. But he came out and confronted Chris Jericho, and they jaw-jacked back and forth, and he basically used the line, I can't wrestle anymore, but I can fight, which actually sounds familiar. That was the Sean Hunter deal from Sean's match back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he challenged him to go into the parking lot and fight, and I thought, oh, God, you know, here we go. But thankfully, they at least kicked him out of the building. But it appears they're building up to, I guess, I don't know, him coming back for a street fight, something. That seems a horrible idea.
Maybe. I just thought they threw him on the TV because the rating was down and they're just desperate. That's why. I don't think that it was. Well, I didn't think it was to build anything.
Well, I thought I expected him to be back at least on TV just because of the DVD coming out.
Yeah.
But this was like, you know, he wanted a fight.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. So, we'll see if he comes back next week.
What did you think of the street fight?
It was fine. It was good. You know, for a TV match.
It's John Cena and Umaga, and Cena won clean with the FU. I thought it was pretty good. Kind of almost a pay-per-view caliber match. Actually, with Cena's recent pay-per-view matches, this was pay-per-view caliber, so that was good.
Maybe.
Did the bikini contest, which you mentioned, rather desperate. I don't even know what the point of it was. Jeff Hardy and Carlito. Carlito, the squeaky wheel, did not get the grease here. He was beaten again.
Oh, I knew that one was coming. The minute that thing was on, it was just like, you know, this is your punishment, buddy.
Let me ask your opinion on that, because a lot of people have asked this question. What, I mean, Carlito made the comments about Triple H. In the press, he was doing an interview, and I guess it was Spain, and he said it was in
South America. Somewhere.
South America, okay. Mentioned it was a good thing.
I think it was Chile.
Chile, good thing, yeah. That he married the boss's daughter, because that's why he was champion all these times and this and that. And is the man just basically trying to get fired at this point?
I think that he probably figured that since he was in Chile, the word would never get back to the States.
He can't be that dumb.
That it did, and but you know, it's like. I think that he's someone who, you know, just when he gets frustrated, he talks. I mean, that's happened several times in the press, and he's gotten in trouble every time. So, you know what? If he were to get fired, I wonder how unhappy he would be, because I think he, you know, he's halfway wanted to quit for the last, what's it been, like 7 months?
Yeah,
So, you know, whatever happens, You know, I think that he, I think he would be fine with it. It's unlike a lot of people in that company who, if they got fired, would probably, you know, jump off a cliff.
Well, I think with him especially, I mean, if you think about just having to go from Puerto Rico to Orlando, back and forth, TNA and his father's company, I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world for him.
Well, because, well, in his father's company, obviously he's going to be the top star in the company.
Sure.
And in TNA, I would think in TNA they would probably, I don't know. I mean, I think that they would do something with him. I mean, a lot of the WWE guys, they have no plans and no clue. But I think that there's a lot of respect for him in that company, you know, and you've got Dutch, you know, who's worked with him for all these years.
Yeah.
So, and he can talk, so that's always good.
What do you think of Hunter's line when he said to Jericho, "Ever since you've come back, I've been waiting to pick a fight with you"?
Yeah, well, that's kind of funny. ever since the week before he came back, or was it the week he came back? It was the week he came back where he was telling everyone, where he was running them down to everyone backstage and all that, yeah.
Now, the main event was the Triple H Jericho match, and the finish was a run-in by, of all people, Lance Cade. And I always thought that at some point they were going to pull the trigger on that guy because he's big and not as big as he used to be, that's for sure.
That boy, I mean, you know what? You know, him and Kennedy? What happened to them?
I don't know, you know.
I mean, it shouldn't happen now. It should happen, you know, what, in 2006? We're 2 years later, 2.5 years later. And all of a sudden, you know, they both look real different. I mean, Kennedy looks like he had a major shoulder injury to me.
Yeah.
Because the other thing was, and it was right shoulder. I think it was right shoulder, because when you watched him throw those punches when he was in there with Burchill, I mean, he looked like he was in major pain and he couldn't get any kind of snap or anything.
Yeah.
And his upper body just shrunk, and like a guy who like might have had like nerve damage or something, like pinched nerve or something, which is, if he has that, that's not good. And Cade didn't look like he was injured or anything. Cade just looked a lot smaller.
He looked deflated, like somebody had pulled some air out of him.
Yep, exactly.
Now, I mean, I expected they'd do something with him eventually, but this just seemed like out of nowhere. I presume it's just to set up a tag for next week, and he'll sort of disappear after that.
Yeah, but I mean, look, they've been planning for months to try to get Cade up, you know, high in that top, you know, not top heel, but near top heel position to kind of replace Umaga when Umaga was to leave. I mean, that was kind of the idea for months, really, and they just hadn't done anything with it yet. And so I guess, you know, they had him beat, you know, they split up him and Murdoch, and they had him beat Murdoch and got that feud over with before it ever started. And now this is the, you know, the idea to get him rolling. I mean, it's kind of weird, though, because the people, it was just done in a weird way.
It was completely out of nowhere. Nobody saw it coming, and I don't even know if they really bought it.
I don't think anyone cared either.
Yeah, it was
because of how it was done.
Yeah, I mean it's good to at least. I mean you've got him in there with three top guys, which is how you have to do it.
Yeah.
But I think that it's going to take a little bit of work, and they don't have the patience most of the time. So I don't necessarily have high hopes for him.
Yeah,
but
they're going to, you know, they'll give him 3 weeks, and then they'll look back and just go, doesn't know how to work him to get over.
Now, I wanted to ask you about this, the tag match with the champs, Bob Holly and Cody Rhodes, and there was interference from Ted DiBiase Jr. DiBiase Jr. and Harry Smith have been teaming down in Florida. Do you expect that to be the mystery partner?
Could be. I don't really have any like expectations or anything like that. I mean, it's good. I mean, that was the idea of the stable, you know, but, you know, Carlito was supposed to be the mouthpiece of the stable, so we'll see what happens, you know, of all the second-generation guys.
I think we need a horseman beatdown here with Cody and everybody turning up. And, I mean, you can't get much sympathy on Bob, but he's sort of, I mean, he's there, so, you know, I think adding Cody to the trio, and I think that would, I mean,
it's definitely been talked about.
Yeah,
in that group.
It's a younger crew, but you need a Jericho there or somebody, or I don't think Carlito's enough. I mean, that's I just think you've got to have some sort of star with these three younger guys for people to take it seriously.
Yeah, well, Jericho's the guy.
I mean, it's actually Evolution was Triple H and Hunter, and then they sort of elevated Orton and Batista that way. So. So that was the Raw show. Overall, better than last week. And as noted, next week is the draft. They're giving away another $1 million. Do you expect that to be the last week?
Yeah, I was really surprised. But I think that even though it didn't draw ratings, you could still tell tonight, they still believe it does. And I think that that's one of the reasons why they're going to do it next week, because they still believe it does. That draft number, I mean, I don't think the draft's going to do a big number. I think that the,
well, it's one of those three-hour shows with the low first hour.
Yeah, it's going to have the low first hour anyway, and I just don't. There's something about it. I don't feel any anticipation for it. I think that the whole product's an indulgence right now.
Now, as far as the draft, I mean, it's all nobody's really going to know anything till it happens. I mean, traditionally they have not even told most of the wrestlers that they're moving to another brand. I'm sure the very top guys would know, but I mean, do you expect them to perhaps break up the announced team on Raw?
Do I expect? You know, I don't expect it, but nothing would shock me.
Yeah.
What would they do then? Put Adam Lee there and put Jim Ross on ECW.
I have no idea.
I mean that would be. I mean, or you would move a color guy, but so that would be Foley, and I don't see any point in that. Although Foley and Jim Ross would probably be very good, but I think that then you'd have Lawler with Michael Cole. I don't know. Not necessarily great. Or you Taz. I don't see him but being on one of the major shows. Adam Lee. I mean, I know what the plans are, but geez, if they do that, they're just out of their minds.
You mean as far as the very long-term plan?
Yeah, but the problem with Adam Lee can't go to Raw because he can't go live.
Yeah. I mean, they're actually looking at long-term Adam Lee as Jim Ross's replacement.
I don't know if they still are. I mean, that's what he was hired for originally, but, you know, you would think by now they aren't looking at it. You would think. You know
what's funniest about that story is that Mike Adamly is actually older than Jim Ross?
Yeah, I know.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
He's starting at 58 or whatever to try and be an announcer, and he's starting at the bottom.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, Vince must have liked something about him, although I have no idea what. You know, they kind of make him a joke now anyway, so I have no idea why he's even announcing ECW. You know, like, it makes no sense.
Did you get a chance to check out the Dream Show?
Yeah, I saw the Dream Show.
And Sakuraba destroyed?
Yeah, well...
What kind of a destruction was it? How bad was it?
It was sad. I mean, it was quick, it was painful, and it was sad, and it shouldn't have been booked that way and should have been stopped maybe a little earlier. But, it was just... You know, it's Japan. I mean, they're... different culture, and they don't value human life like we do.
How was the show in general?
I thought that it was long and not particularly exciting. A couple of fights were okay, but there was nothing nothing worth going out of your way to see, that's for sure. The Jacare against Mayhem Miller was a good fight, and there were some good moments in Gegard Mousasi against Yoon, but I don't know. I mean, nothing really stood out. Very missable show.
Now you just got off the phone. You were talking about some stuff from Japan, and what is the? I mean, is it sort of the way that we kind of see it here that there's a major lull and any attempt to bring Pride back just at this point is not going to work?
I don't know. I think that it is a lull for sure, but I think that if they just had the right guys, you know, I mean, they really don't have anything that's really being built up. I don't know. You know, I mean, like, this show was built around mostly the middleweight Grand Prix, and I don't think anyone really cared about it. The lightweight Grand Prix, the mainstream doesn't care, but the hardcores kind of did because it's really good, you know, with good people. But the middleweight, you know, I mean, actually the guys in the middleweight Grand Prix are good fighters, but no one in Japan cares about them.
A couple more questions before we wrap up the show today. You had a big deal on the front page today about the Adrenaline show, the rumors that came out a couple of days ago about Adrenaline. UFC actually programming head-to-head with their pay-per-view.
Affliction,
I'm sorry. Yeah. All of these damn promotions are popping up here. Affliction.
Yeah.
What's the update?
The update is tomorrow Dana's going to make an announcement, which I presume is that he's doing a show head-to-head with them, which I think is a very bad idea, unbelievably bad idea. If he was going to go head-to-head, it should be the next week go head-to-head with the CBS show, because that's just real competition. This group that's going to go out there and lose a ton of money, they're not even on the map yet. You know, why worry about them? You know, I mean, it's almost like he's reading message boards and he's responding to message boards. You know, where like, oh, you know, like, you know, because no one's saying Elite's going to get him because Elite's not the darling of anyone. You know, the Elite's the non-hardcore promotion. They're the, you know, they're the pro wrestling promotion. So they're bad. But Adrenaline is like this, now I'm saying it, it's Affliction. Affliction.
Somebody needs a new name.
Yeah, we need to ban some of these names. I mean, they need to get, like, real names. Just get, like, you know, like, three letters.
But sure.
Anyway, you know, I mean, even that's what you're supposed to do, right? Just get three letters and burn a bunch of money. But the Affliction show, it's like they have no television, so who cares? It's like it doesn't make a difference. And so why program against them? Because by programming against them, it's only going to give that show and that group more publicity. It's not like Elite, where you're going head-to-head with Elite, where, you know, they're already on CBS, so now you're in a real fight. So I just think that the whole, you know, the whole idea of throwing... Plus, UFC doesn't need to be throwing shows together at the last minute. You know, it waters down their own product. They got enough shows. So anyway, but I think that's what... I think that will be announced tomorrow, that there will be a show. It went back and forth all day today. This morning, there wasn't going to be a show. This afternoon, there was another idea for what to do, and then later this afternoon, everyone kind of got on the same page, which I believe is that there's going to be a show, but I don't know that as a fact. And what the lineup is, we'll see. I don't know. Like, Brandon Vera is supposed to be in the main event, but I got no idea who he's going against because everyone they asked, you know, turned the fight down. So, you know, I don't know who it would be.
The idea of counter-programming against this just boggles my mind.
Counter-programming against them?
Yeah, I mean, what are...
That's like WWE counter-program against...
A TNA pay-per-view.
No, it's not.
Actually, that's...
TNA's got national television.
That's true, yeah.
No, it's like counter-programming against an ROH house show by doing a, you know, a big live special on television because they've got a house show.
Or an ROH pay-per-view, I guess, would be a good
Or an ROH pay... Yeah, you're right. Or Friday night ROH pay-per-view, doing a free show on Friday night. Well, they do that. But, I mean, like, if they actually didn't have a free show on Friday night and put it against the ROH pay-per-view that nobody, you know, that no one knows about, you know, in the mainstream. So anyway, I find that it just boggles my mind, and I don't know why they're doing it, if they are doing it. And they may not do it, you know, because, you know, at certainly this morning it was like 98% dead, and then somehow it got resuscitated. And I presume that, you know, the only person who could resuscitate it is Dana, so I presume it was just his idea that, you know, we're going to do it anyway, you know, so... But we'll see tomorrow.
In hindsight, were you surprised that when UFC did counter-program, I mean, there were so many people at that moment during the Kimbo fight going against the Chuck Liddell special,
no,
I believe
Kimbo,
it was.
The Kimbo fight was after the Chuck Liddell.
Okay, what was head-to-head with...
The beginning of the Robbie Lawler-Scott Smith match would have been head-to-head with Silva and the Chuck Liddell fight.
Okay.
So in that, but yeah, they had a...
There were a lot of people watching MMA at that moment.
They had 7.3 million people watching MMA at that moment.
So there's an audience out there, but I should actually ask you, are you going to Affliction?
Well, you know, I mean, that was certainly my plan, and I probably still will, but, you know, with the UFC show, who knows? I'll probably get assigned. I'm guessing that they'll assign me to Affliction, and they'll assign, you know, somebody else to cover UFC. It's just my guess, but... It isn't my call. I'm going where they send me.
I actually got tickets for Affliction today, believe it or not. Plane tickets.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm heading out there for that one.
Good.
Just the idea of seeing Fedor fight, you know what I mean? I mean,
it's cool.
I've never had a chance to, and God knows when I'll have a chance to again, so I think it'll... Plus, it's a chance to just head down to L.A., you know what I mean? So
yeah.
That'll be a...
Well, I mean, you know... I think that they'll probably somewhere, somehow, you know, there's going to be a Fedor-Randy Couture match. You got to think.
Yeah.
I think it's going to happen it's going to happen as soon as the court makes its ruling and it's legal to have that match, it's going to be made.
And last question before we wrap it up today. This Thursday, actually we can talk about this more on our Wednesday night show, but this Thursday is the hour and a half Ultimate Fighter.
No, Wednesday is hour and a half Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, it is Wednesday. Oh, so we'll talk about it on the show. So I guess we better get the preview
we should do the show after the show.
Yeah, so we'll get the preview in now, but that is the big show on Wednesday night, and a lot of rumors that somebody's getting kicked off the show,
the rumors... Someone's getting kicked off the show.
Out of UFC.
Someone's getting kicked, yeah, right. They're getting kicked out of UFC.
Yes.
And the presumption is Jesse Taylor, you know, so...
He
does something really stupid, which, you know, I mean, he's done I don't know. I mean, what a... It'll be really sad, you know. I mean, he's just made a fool of himself. I mean,
he has.
This whole season's been, you know, quite the, you know, for people who are trying to break a stereotype of fighters, this season certainly does nothing to do that. Right up there with Vince, you know, talking about how, you know, the guy in his audience makes, you know, under $20,000 a year stocking shelves.
Yeah.
You know, and while he's complaining that, you know, that Rolls-Royce won't or Mercedes won't advertise on his shows.
You know, I'm not even so much excited about who gets kicked off the show. I'm just excited to see how, because...
Well, it has something to do with the car, right?
I DUI, perhaps? I mean, he's had his drinking problem, something involving a car.
Yeah, probably.
Some sort of, just something spectacular has to happen.
Maybe he breaks out of the house and steals a car.
That could be as well a joyride throughout Las Vegas.
Yeah, who knows?
This excites me. But unfortunately, again, it's all exciting, but we're losing a man because of this.
Yeah.
So,
especially if the guy's, if it's Jesse who's already earned his spot in the finals.
Yeah, so what can you do? But that's the plan for Wednesday night, and I guess you and I will be back after the hour and a half Ultimate Fighter special, so we will discuss that one and preview the Ultimate Fighter finale, which is coming up, which may not have a lot of guys on this show. I don't really know.
Who's fighting on it? I think Matt Brown, Dante Rivera, and Matt Riddle, and I'm presuming CB and Amir are fighting no matter what, unless one of them's the one who's booted off.
Could be, yeah.
And I think Tim Crador is going to fight on it. But yeah, I think most of those guys, no Jeremy May. I think that Wednesday will be the last we will ever see of Jeremy May, maybe. Well, actually, we won't, because he'll be fighting in some independent shows.
It does suck that on this, you know, this was a season where it just sort of, it didn't really click for me until the last couple of weeks, and you had the awesome heel in Jeremy May, and you had a guy that he screwed up, but at least Jesse had some charisma, and
yeah,
the show's going to be over, and we'll never see either of them again, so what a waste that was.
Yeah, if it is Jesse, and we will, well, again, you know, we'll see him, probably on Elite XC.
Could end up
Elite XC, or who else might get it? That's probably where he'll wind up.
He could end up on the July show, in fact, for all we know.
Yeah, it's real possible.
Is there any news on the KJ Nunes versus Nick Diaz fight, by the way?
September or October.
Oh, October.
It'll either be Showtime September or CBS October.
I hope it's CBS.
I would bet CBS October.
That's the greatest news I've ever heard. And would it be from Hawaii?
Oh, I, you know what? I know that there's, KJ Nunes wants it in Hawaii, you know, but I don't know that they run Hawaii so much, so I don't know that.
Yeah, but CBS, it's the first CBS from Hawaii.
Yeah, you know, CBS should run from Hawaii.
I fully agree.
It'd have to start, it'd have to be an afternoon show, but that's cool. That's not a problem.
Yeah. That's the fight I am most looking forward to this year. Not only the chance to actually perhaps go to Hawaii to cover it, but just it's such a great angle. It was such a fabulous angle.
It was so good. I know.
I know. This.
And then it just like bothered me that like I felt that like almost nobody got it. It made me think like it's like I knew that most people would be negative on it. Okay, but I figured that like you know like 30% of the people would be positive and 70% would be negative.
Sure.
You know, because those 30% would kind of understand. And it's like, it seems like it's like 5%. And it's like, do people just not understand?
It baffled me because I watched it and I thought, who could not understand the greatness of what I've just seen?
Yeah, but everyone, you know, I mean, I understand people, you know, thinking, you know, that, you know, the Diaz brothers, you know, are... you know, kind of bad sports or this or that. But the thing is like, you know, and that's all true.
Well, he was. He missed weight by 8 pounds.
Nick Diaz is an idiot. And, you know, that's true. But the thing is that what they created out of their own, you know, combination of stupidity and timing and things like that was just tremendous.
It was magic.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't script it. People think that they scripted it. They couldn't script it. Because if they scripted it, those guys would screw it up. Some way. I mean, the guy can't even make weight, you know, because he's drinking salt water in the ocean or something. So it's like, how is he going to be able to pull off an angle? You know, I mean, it was so spontaneous and so great. And, yeah, I mean, but I know, like, I mean, even the promotion is embarrassed by it. That's like,
that's unacceptable.
I know.
Well, not everybody, because I talked to a few people that liked it.
Well, I yeah.
Probably
but,
the obvious suspects, but.
Yeah, but the ones in charge are just like, you know, oh yeah, we know it'll cause interest, but it's just not what we want to be. And it's like, yeah, well, you know what though? I mean, you really can. You should only hope that it happens like once a year.
Wait a
but
second.
But if it happens once a year, it's great.
They're cool with Kimbo Slice not going to do Xeroff in the main event, but this little brawl was not what they want to be.
Yeah, because it looked too much like WWE.
And Kimbo versus James Thompson
like
didn't.
And the thing is, it's like I when they said that, I should have just said, you haven't been watching WWE. If WWE could do something this good, I wouldn't be wasting my time watching this other stuff.
If I don't see this footage all over the next CBS show.
Okay. No, you will see the footage like crazy.
Okay, good. Well, that's
I mean,
all I care about.
They're
then.
Not. They couldn't. No one's told me that, but they couldn't be that stupid. I expect that you'll be seeing the footage everywhere for months.
That will be great then. I will be
and
happy.
And by the time they get there, it'll be like the footage of a. It better be like that footage. Remember when the footage of Ken Shamrock trying to hop the fence against Tito? Like
yes,
years
indeed.
And years earlier, they showed constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what this needs to be.
That will be great.
Yeah, Nick and Nate Diaz in the aisle after being booted out of the cage.
That should be on T-shirts. A screenshot.
Yeah, really.
Well, I want to wish you the best of luck Tuesday because it's going to be a hell of a day.
Yes.
And what do we have coming up in the Observer? What's everybody have to look forward to?
I don't know. I have to wait till tomorrow.
Oh, boy. This will be the two-issue week, everybody, I suspect.
We have to figure out what's going on tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, what big matches are they going to announce? And I'm trying to think what else. I guess we got our WWE news, whatever it is. Not really a lot of big WWE news, really, for this week, kind of.
We'll get it next week with the draft.
Kind of dead. I mean, well, we do have a Mickey James, Cage Lee match added to the pay-per-view.
Yeah. No news.
No.
I'm waiting for the news tomorrow to see if Cade broke Cena's nose with that lariat.
Oh, really?
Oh, he hit him bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess we'll find out tomorrow, but... Those of you listening to this on Tuesday, we shall be back in just a couple of hours talking about Dana White's big announcement, which hopefully after all this hype is in fact a really big announcement. And we'll be discussing that, and then of course we'll be back Wednesday night talking Ultimate Fighter and all the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, and we shall talk to you then.